Porios per Gimel, Mishnah Dalet 3-4, and since the previous Mishnah we defined who the Nasi was, who brings the Seir Nasi, now we'll discuss Ezu HaMashiach, who is the Kohen HaMashiach, who brings the Par Kohen HaMashiach, the special bull offering. Mishnah says, HaMashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. It's a Kohen who has been anointed with the special anointing oil to become the Kohen Gadol. That is to say, that in the time of the Chumash, back in Kisisa, Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to prepare a special anointing oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, which is used to consecrate the Mishkan, the Kelim, the Kohen Gadol Aaron, and his children to be Kohanim. And then it was kept, and was kept and used to anoint future Kohanim Gadolim throughout Bais Rishon's time, throughout the whole period, until the end of Bais Rishon, I should say, until the time of Yoshiyahu, in time of King Yoshiyahu, King Yoshiah, King Josiah, he hid the Shemen HaMishcha prior to the destruction of the First Temple, so it shouldn't fall into the hands of the Gentiles. And since then, it's not possible to invest a Kohen with the status of being a Kohen Gadol through the Shemen HaMishcha, because it's not available. And therefore, the alternative route is what's called Ribui Begadim. A Kohen who is dressed up in the clothing of the Kohen Gadol is called the Kohen Merubah Begadim, and says the Mishnah, it's specifically the HaMashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, lo HaMerubah Begadim, not the one who gets the extra clothing. Merubah Begadim would mean the increasing of the clothing, or wearing the greater clothing. A regular Kohen, of course, wears just four garments. The standard dress of every Kohen is the Ksonos, Mechnasayim, Metznefes, and Avnet. It's like they'll call it the tunic, the boxer shorts, breeches, whatever they are. The Metznefet is the turban, and the Avnet is the belt. But a Kohen Gadol gets four more in addition. He gets the Ephod, that's the apron, the Choshen, that's the breastplate, the Me'il, we'll call that the robe. And then the tzitz is the headband, the golden head, So those extra four garments are what invest the Kohen with the status of being Kohen Gadol. According to the Rambam, it's merely wearing those clothing. According to Rashi, he has to do some actually avoda in the Shmona Begadim, those eight vestments. But in any case, the point is that's what it takes to become a Kohen Gadol in terms of investing with the sanctity, and that route doesn't make him a Kohen Mashiach eligible to bring the special par Kohen Mashiach. Says the Mishnah further, and this really is an echo of a repeat of the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah. It says, "Ein bein Kohen HaMashuach b'shemen." There's no difference between the Kohen who was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, l'merubah v'gadim, for the one who was invested with the sanctity of a Kohen Gadol through wearing of the extra garments, ela par haba al kol hamitzvos, except for the bull that comes for the commandments. Again, this is the case of the very case talking about the Rav Maseches Horios, where he makes a ruling regarding a mitzvah that there's a penalty of for a normal person of chatas kavua. So that one scenario, that's the only difference. In other ways, there's no difference at all between a Kohen Gadol who became a Kohen Gadol by the Shemen HaMishcha or by the Merubah V'Gadim, the extra clothing. Further says the Mishnah, again, from Maseches Megillah also, Ve'ein ben Kohen HaMishamish LeKohen Sha'avar. This is really off topic in terms of Horios, but a continuation of the Mishnah in Megillah and on topic in terms of differentiating different kinds of Kohanim. There's no difference in the Kohen Gadol who's Mishamesh, that he's currently serving, and the Kohen Sha'avar, the Kohen Gadol who now is no longer serving. So, for example, you could have on Yom Kippur, this is the beginning of Maseches Yoma, the Kohen Gadol, if he becomes Tamei, there's someone who replaces him. So while he is Tamei, he is now no longer serving, and there's another Kohen in his place, Kohen Gadol. And when the former Kohen Gadol becomes Tahor again, he'll resume being the Kohen Mishamish, then a functioning Kohen Gadol, and then the other one will be the Kohen Sha'avar, the has-been, the emeritus ex-Kohen Gadol. The point here, as we said earlier on in the parak here, once a person is invested with the sanctity of being a Kohen Gadol, he always has that Kedusha. So our Mishnah says, well, if you have two people who actually have the sanctity of Kohen Gadol, one who is currently serving and one who previously served, but both are alive, so then what's the difference between the two people in terms of halacha? The answer is there's no differences. Ella Par Yom Kippurim v'Asiras Ha'Eifa. There are two things that there's no way to have two Kohanim Gadolim do. In other words, in normal circumstances, a Kohen Gadol can essentially do as little or as much of the Avodah as he wants on a regular day. Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. But in any case, if you have two people who are Kohen Gadol, so there's no reason to differentiate between the two. They both have all the restrictions and benefits of being Kohen Gadol. With two important exceptions, says the Mishnah. There's two things which have to be paid for by the Kohen Gadol. And obviously, if they have to be from the Mammon Kohen Gadol, you can't have two Kohen Gadolim who are responsible to pay for it. Only one could. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying, when it comes to the Par Yom Kippurim, the special bull that's brought on Yom Kippur, to atone for the Kohen Gadol and his family and all the Kohanim, so the Kohen Gadol has to pay for that from his personal funds. So if there are two Kohen Gadolim, one is the Kohen Mishamash, one is the Kohen Sha'avar, so the Kohen Mishamash, the current Kohen Gadol is currently functioning, he's the one who pays for this bull that will be used for the on Yom Kippur service for atonement. And similarly, the Asiras HaEifah, the tenth of the Eifah, this is referring to the amount of flour that's used in what's called the Chavite Kohen Gadol. Every day, the Kohen Gadol brings, I'll call it, a mincha, like a meal offering made of Asiras HaEifah. That's like a tenth of an Eifah. It's 43.2 eggs. Baked 12 loaves on a machvat, and then on a kind of pan, and then half of the 12 are brought in the morning with the tamid shel shachar, and half are brought in the afternoon, tamid shel ben arbaim. It's a machlokas if it's 6 in the morning, 6 in the afternoon, or half of 12 in the morning, half 12 in the afternoon. So I guess there is a difference between 6 of one, half dozen the other. In any case, so the Kohen Gadol doesn't actually have to bring those. They can be brought by any Kohen. But the Kohen Gadol has to pay for those. So you can't have two Kohen Gadolim paying for that, and there's only one offering like that brought every day, and therefore that has to be paid for by the Kohen Mishamish, the Kohen Gadol who's currently functioning as Kohen Gadol, and not the Sha'avar, the one who previously functioned. In every other way, they are sort of on similar footing, and therefore the Mishnah elaborates, Zeh v'zeh shavin, they're both equal in terms of Bavodat Yom Kippurim, either one could do the service in Yom Kippur. If, for argument's sake, someone had been a Kohen Gadol, let's say he was retired because he had he was too old, but actually he got his strength back, or he had a mom that actually went away and that kind of stuff. In any case, the point is if he does avoda, it's kosher. Umitzuvin al habasula. There's a mitzvah ase for a Kohen Gadol to marry a basula, a virgin. A regular Kohen doesn't have such a requirement, but a Kohen Gadol does. So that applies to both the Mishamish and the Sha'avar. Both Kohen Gadol only can marry a basula, a virgin. Va'asurin al ha'almana. They're both forbidden to marry a widow. So while the regular Kohen may marry a widow, he just can't marry a divorcee, a grusha. He can marry a widow, but a Kohen Gadol may not marry a widow. If you'll ask the question, wait a second, we said he has to marry a basula, how could he marry, what's the possibility of him marrying a widow? The answer is, remember, there's two steps to marriage. The first step is already erusin, also known as kedushin, and that's a full-blown marriage. So a woman who is an arusa, or, you know, she's mekudeshes, she receives, takes the ring, she's a fully married Ashes Ish. She just is still like legally married, but not functionally married. She lives with her at home, let's say with her father. If her husband now should die or divorce her with a get, so she becomes a grusha if she's divorced, and an almana if she's widowed. So that's the woman who could be an almana. She's a widow, and yet she's still a basula. She never had a marriage, actually, so she's living at home. Yes, a basula, but still forbidden because she's an almana. The einan mitamin bikrovehen. Neither the Kohen Sha'avar and the Kohen Mishamish may become tame for their relatives. You'll recall that a Kohen, a regular Kohen, is forbidden to become tame to Tumas Meis, to expose himself to corpse Tuma. However, he has a mitzvah to become tame and participate in the burial of his Zayin Krovim, his seven relatives. That means his mother and his father, his sister and his brother, his son and his daughter, and his wife, those seven, and the sister only if she wasn't married to somebody else. So those seven, a regular Kohen must become Tameh for, but the Kohen Gadol can't become Tameh even for them, not even for his parents. So if you have a Kohen Sha'avar or a Kohen Mishamish, either one, if they lose their parents, etc., they may not become Tameh, equally restricted. Further says the Mishnah, Velo Forin, Velo Formin, Priya and Prima, so those are observances that might happen in because someone lost a relative. They're in mourning. They're in avil, avilus, mourning. So one doesn't usually cut his hair as an avil, but the Kohen Gadol may not do priya, may not let his hair grow long. He has to cut it short every day, and that's the case. He can't let it grow long, whether it's Kohen Sha'avar or Kohen Mishamish. And same goes with prima. Prima is tearing the clothing like we do when you rend the clothing as part of the avelus process, so a Kohen Gadol doesn't rend his clothing. Umachazirin esarotzeach, and finally he returns the murderer, literally. That means, of course, you recall, Makos, Mesechus Makos, if a person is an accidental murderer, b'shogeg, he goes into the Ir HaMiklat, he goes into exile, until a Kohen Gadol dies. Which Kohen Gadol? The answer is either one. So there are two Kohanim Gadolim, one which is the current serving Kohen Gadol, and one who is like, let's say, a retired Kohen Gadol. So even if the retired Kohen Gadol dies, that will be enough to now allow the person who's in exile on the Ir HaMiklat to return back